Good morning once again.
Good morning
to everybody who's joining us online too as well. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we know sometimes we are reminded very bluntly in this world that we are not at our perfect home. Lord, give us the strength and the hope to endure in this world. And Lord, help us to not lose out on the joy that we can have now because you are here with us. You are here with us as we get a glimpse of what home is going to be like. Remind us that we can have a taste of home and we can be filled with joy here and now because of who your Son is. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. You know, it's interesting. This sermon is titled, A Glimpse of Home. And I totally just titled that looking at the text from Revelation. It just happened to be a wonderful circumstance. I don't believe a coincidence that I was working on this sermon the very same week that my family finally arrived in our new home, and we're busy unpacking everything and already finding some certain things that need to be fixed. And I'm sure that some of you homeowners are like, yep, once you're in a home, you gotta fix it all the time. And that's not even talking about just all the boxes of stuff we still have to go through. And a little quick aside as we get into this. As a pastor, I'm supposed to be the example of saying, hey, follow me as I follow Jesus. I'm your wonderful example. Well, just as the disciples were so imperfect following Jesus, and he had to rebuke them and teach them, and they were honest in their testimonies of this to demonstrate that it's not about you, it's about being humble before Christ, and it's about Jesus, it's not about us. So I'm going to tell you, follow me in owning your imperfections before God and confessing them, because let me tell you something. I was foolish throughout much of this week, squandering the joy of having a home and having my family present. To such a point where at one point in time, as we're trying to scramble and get all these things done and I'm being full of stress, I actually said something quite dumb. Imagine met me saying something dumb. I said to my, I think I said to my mother-in-law and my brilliant wife, Amy, I said, had you waited one more day, I could have got more stuff done. Right? There are some things that were on my list to do before they got here. And now that they're here, guess what? They're still not done. Because children make life very busy. And yet, I was foolish for saying that. Because I should have just enjoyed the fact that my wife and children were finally here with me. We long for perfection in this world. Why? Why are we so bent on perfection? Part of it is that, and in many ways I realize this, those of you who have a regular job or have had regular jobs, you have one aspect of your life that is a lot tougher than mine. Sometimes we're like, oh, pastor, they have such a tough job because they're always in a spiritual battle or whatever, right? They got to be the perfect example. But you have to perform at a level for a boss who might not understand grace and demands perfection. We want perfection out of fear. We want to be perfect so that we can succeed. Other times we want perfection because, man, everything's running smoothly. It's going to be easy. Sometimes we want perfection because we think, man, if we just get everything done, it's going to look really good and I can finally relax a little bit. Like, I have to get the to-do list done, and then I will be able to breathe and enjoy and relax. Maybe you're one of those people that have those long to-do lists written down, and you like to cross them off. And that's fine, especially if you need to be organized. I could probably use a little bit more of that in my own life. But boy, if that is the source of your joy, is looking at the end of the day at everything you accomplished on that list, you could be sorely missing out on the point of Jesus. Especially within our own homes as well. What makes a home perfect? That takes us to the text of Revelation, where we get a glimpse of home. Then came one of the seven angels. This is the Apostle John is writing this. Then came one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the last seven plagues. And he spoke to me saying, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And just so that we all understand this, you know, marriage is supposed to showcase our relationship with God. The relationship between a husband and a wife demonstrates the relationship between church and Jesus. We are the bride as the church. Jesus is the groom. So the bride and the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high walls with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, as it goes on in the text, we kind of skip through it in the reading today when Kay read this for us, because it goes on to describe like the dimensions of the city, the measurements of it, its height, but it also goes on to talk about some of the gems that the city was made out of. What's interesting is that the city was pure gold, clear as glass. Now, have you ever accidentally fallen asleep watching TV? I have. And you wake up and then you have an infomercial on. And someone's like maybe selling gold or silver coins. And those coins are always so shiny, especially the gold ones, the way they gleam. Imagine a whole city gleaming like that. That seems pretty awesome, right? It seems perfect, right? But maybe your eye isn't necessarily on the gold itself. But maybe it's more of just not having anything accursed anymore. Maybe you're looking forward to no longer feeling hurt and pain. Maybe you're looking forward to seeing loved ones that you've lost. Maybe you're looking forward to no longer having to feel hungry and to have to cook and all these kinds of things. And you're just looking forward to no longer having the burdens of the world. You're looking forward to everything being joyful and blissful. What's interesting about the close of the scriptures here, the close of Revelation, this vision of John, which closes the canon of scripture, is it almost takes us back to the very beginning. How does Genesis 1 describe the creation throughout it? It was good. It was good. It all was good. And in fact, Genesis even describes some precious jewels and rocks and minerals that were around the garden as well. And so we're seeing in Revelation creation restored. And boy, we really like that perfection aspect of it. We want that. We long for that. And you know what? That's not entirely wrong. That's okay. On the way to church today, thinking about this, not only was I thinking about the loved ones from my own family that I missed, some of my friends, but I was thinking about the loved ones whom I've served as pastors, the funerals that I've done for them. And just, man, there's some people who I long to see. One person in particular who came to my mind was a lady named Mavis. Mavis would sometimes just pop over and come to the parsonage, and she'd just drop off bread. I didn't ask to come in. She just said, "I got done baking, Pastor. Here's some stuff for you and your family." Mavis would play Scrabble with my wife and I. She always won. I look forward to seeing her again. She might, if we play Scrabble up there, she'll probably beat me still up there. I look forward to seeing her again. I look forward to seeing Grandpa and Grandma again. You know, I look forward to all that. I hope my family is up there too, right? But we don't want to just fall in love with perfection all the time and the lack thereof in the right now, because that can put us into despair and we can miss the point of what we do have here and now and who it is that actually makes it perfect in our heavenly home. And not just in our heavenly home, but in the new creation. That's Jesus. We had a really interesting gospel reading today. I've always kind of wondered why they squeezed this section of Corinthians during the Easter season. A guy is sitting at a pool laying. And the idea of this pool was, once the music note sounds, the very first person who goes in there is going to be healed. And this guy could never get in before somebody else could get healed. And here he is. There is Jesus right before him. And he doesn't even realize that the Son of God is right there, ready to serve him and help him. And instead, he's focused on the fact, I can never get into the water. If I could just get into the water, that's us. If I could just get everything on my list done. If this instead of that. If I could just get this right. If I just would have done this instead of that. Or maybe sometimes we're guilty of looking at our people in our relationships. If you would just do this. That high expectation, those hopes unmet, those expectations unmet, can really pull and steal our joy that God has given us. Because while Jesus goes ahead and grants this guy the wish that he wants, he made it up. Later on, in verse 14, Jesus confronts him again and says, "Now repent before something worse happens to you." Jesus healed a man who wasn't even necessarily a believer. What happened in the garden was, it wasn't that Adam and Eve lost the perfection of the garden. It's that they rejected God in his full presence. It wasn't it's not that this man was wrong for desiring to be healed, but he was missing the point that God was right there. He was not willing to see Jesus in that moment. It's like me, who's like, I've longed for 3 months to have my family join me here. And because it wasn't perfect for them, I was stupidly thinking, wow, if you would have just waited one more day, I could have got more stuff done. Waiting for perfection. I could probably preach this to us every single Sunday, and it would apply. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Just be with God. That is what makes it perfect. That is what is missing. That is what drives most of our despair in this world, is forgetting exactly what Christ has done for us and who he has called us to be. Our hope is not in perfection. Our hope is not in being perfect. Because you know what happens? We fail and we fall short and we miss those expectations, and then we just make ourselves miserable. And we potentially make the people around us miserable too as well. Misery loves company, right? But Jesus came down from heaven to be with us. We imperfect people. God came down and made himself, he got messy and dirty. He came down to our imperfections to lift us up to him, to make us perfect, to be with us. There's a reason why he is called Emmanuel. Exactly translated, with us God, God with us, Emmanuel. We can have this taste of home now. Because God still is present. He sent his Holy Spirit down to dwell in you. You received it in baptism. He is here present with your friends and family of this congregation, where the word is faithfully preached, where you are gathered together to have a sanctuary from this world. Where you don't have to be beat up by the perfection and demands of law all the time. But you can rest in the gospel that God loves you. Not because of what you have done, but because he created you. And he wants you to call him Father. And he says, ask me and I will give it to you. Whatever you ask in my son's name, I will give to you. Please, call me Father. Call me Abba. Call me Daddy. I am here for you, and I want to embrace you as my dear children. And that's why he sent his son, to die and to bleed for you, to shed his blood for you. Because we can't be perfect. It's impossible. It's insane that we expect perfection. Two imperfect parents living in a home. How can we make a perfect home for our children if we're imperfect? It's impossible. I laugh when I hear people say, you know, God doesn't give you anything more. God will never give you more than you can handle. How many people have said that? That's still about you. And you doing work. God, you're never going to give me more than I can handle, because I can handle this, right? Try salvation. Try being a good parent. I need grace. I need the grace of God, because I am so imperfect. Follow me as I repent back to God. Because that is what makes a home Whether you live in an apartment, whether you own your own house, whether you are bouncing from hotel room to hotel room because you're traveling for business or whatever, whether you are living by yourself, whether you are married and empty nesters, or whether you have kids or not, what makes your home home is inviting God into it. So that you can have that peace in your house, that peace that surpasses all your sin. Because we're not going to get perfect. Not in this world. But we have a perfect Savior. That's where the perfect comes in. We have a God who sees us in our imperfection and says, I see perfect because you've been baptized into my son's death. You've been baptized into the resurrection. And yes, it's okay to look forward to the perfect home that we're going to have with God. It's okay to realize that this isn't our heavenly home. It's okay to sing the hymn, Holy, 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 and imagine ourselves in the presence of God. That's okay, in the full presence of God. There's nothing wrong with that. It gives us hope. A lot of people misunderstand the book of Revelation. A lot of times we read it and it's like, oh, we're supposed to be scared and all this kind of stuff. No. The book is to give us hope in a persecuted world. That's why it was written. To show that Jesus wins, and so does his church. The best is yet to come, but we can have it good now. Good is knowing that Jesus is with us now, and he loves us, and he is walking us through this imperfect creation, and he's forgiving us. Better is our heavenly home. Best is the new creation when our bodies are resurrected and our souls are reunited. Jesus came to restore the creation. It's going to happen. Now we can have joy knowing that it will happen. This whole book is filled with promises, that were made. And Jesus fulfilled many of them. And so we can trust the prophecies yet to come. Our heavenly home. The blessings of the new creation. Those are coming to you. Because we have a God who keeps promises. The joy comes from him. And we can have that joy now. That joy because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is risen indeed. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Adam. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds now until life everlasting. Amen.